Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, TSA workers have missed their first paycheck. We'll give you an update on the airport security situation here at home and tell you what you can do to help. Plus, 4th of July fireworks are back at Mount Rushmore. Those stories and more next in the news.
The national parks have done away with their reservation system. Now, this is going to change park entry. And in our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we'll give you some really important tips on how to best visit Yosemite and other national treasures.
Travel influencers are offering more and more information via the internet. But are they following the disclosure rules? Are you really getting unbiased reviews and information? We'll discuss it at 11:35.
Have you ever thought about a trip to Arizona for a baseball spring training? Well, Mark has just returned from his annual visit and has some tips for you at 11:40.
Speaking of online information and opinions, articles appear almost daily offering to tell you how you can get upgraded on your flight. Tips to woo the great gate or the phone agent. Can you really smooze yourself into first class? I have the answer at 11:50.
And we're here to make sense of this crazy world, at least when it comes to travel. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
To Vegas.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, welcome everyone. Another day, another week, another Saturday has arrived, and it's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and across the way, Mr. Mark Hoffman, looking a little suntan from being out in the sun or watching them baseball games. The Giants are just killing it.
You know, people sometimes say, wow, you know, you've been in the travel business for most of your life, and you know, you get to go places and do things and stuff. You make any money at that? And I say, well, you know, there probably are more lucrative things to do in your life. But if you made more money, what would you do with that money? Well, you'd probably travel and go places and do things. And that's what I do. So, you know, it kind of seems like I'm kind of, it's just a little different system in my case. It's kind of pay as you go. But having to go down to Arizona for 4 or 5 days every March is a terrible, you know, it's a terrible albatross to have to bear, but somebody has to do it. So,
well, everybody needs to know that Mark is a huge, huge baseball fan above any other sport, and has been for many, many decades. And, you know, I think maybe what started him on the road to doing these kind of things. One of these days, Mark, when we have a little time, I want to ask you if you weren't working for travel and you were going to travel on your own, like Clayton told us the other day, he had booked a trip to New Zealand to chase a sun eclipse.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about where you like to go if you ever had a chance to travel on your own.
Yeah. Well, when I die, just, you know, take the ashes and spread them over a ballpark at spring training or something like that would be just
there. You go,
just fine. There's a brand new baseball museum down. It's a modest museum, but a brand new baseball museum to visit at spring training, and we'll talk about that and some other little tips. If you're planning a trip this spring, or you've thought about it, you might do it next spring. I have some tips for you later on in the program.
Well, okay, let's for just a moment talk about your spring training trip. Now, you mentioned that the Giants were doing extremely well. Just curious, we had the World Baseball Classic going on right now. The United States doing pretty well. Going to be, the Dominican Republic or something for their next game. They beat Canada.
Semifinals.
And, you know, I mean, does this have any impact on the Giants as a team during this?
It had a little bit of impact, I think, on the fans. I think the people who were traveling with me had still enjoyed themselves. Of course, the Giants are like 15-3, or they were the other day when I looked. So they're winning almost every day. They have the best record in spring training. So no matter who they're putting on the field, whether they are Giants for this coming season, potential Giants, or guys that will end up with the River Cats, or maybe even at Double A Richmond. Those guys are getting a chance to play where they wouldn't normally, because the Giants have three players that are off in the World Baseball Classic, and just about every team has that. So some of the star players are not there at spring training, at least during this period of time. But, you know, when you go down there and you watch the games, the Stars play, you know, they bat twice, the pitchers pitch two innings. So if you're going to see the Stars, then there's no, you're going to see baseball in the sunshine where you haven't, what that happens hasn't existed for months and months and months. And we got out of town just in time, Tom. It turned like 90, and by the end of the weekend, it's going to be 100 in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So, well, let me tell you something about spring training. When you, well, one tip for now, when you go, consider getting seats in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, there are not many shaded seats at most parks. So consider seats in the shade, because if the weather takes a nasty turn and gets warm like it's going to next week, you're going to toast out in the sun. Think about going to a Rivercats game on a summer evening, and before the sun goes down, you're going to toast. So anyways, that's my mm-hmm. biggest tip for spring training. Get seats in the shade.
Now, when you get seats in the shade, or should I say, how do you get seats in the shade? When you're booking it or whatever, I'm sure the maps don't necessarily show you. You got to talk to somebody and
here's a really good thing. We'll tell you more about how to get seats in the shade at 11:40. Oh.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. All righty. By the way, I'm going to see the Giants and the Rivercats go at it in just a short period of time. They've got a game, a little practice game coming up here real soon. So if you want to see your Giants and some of those people that may be on the Giants main squad sometime soon, look into that. All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we take time out to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, Mark, what you got?
Well, I think the biggest story that can impact people in the coming weeks, who knows where and when, is the whole TSA people not getting paid situation. Delta Airlines has raised some big concerns. They're starting to have some on and off problems in Atlanta, which is one of the world's largest airports. So they're starting to come around to, hey, we need to get this fixed. New York's JFK Airport is seeing the highest TSA absence rate, besides Atlanta, New York, Houston, New Orleans, Pittsburgh are having intermittent problems. This morning, I saw a news story on cable news before I came in to do the program with you, Tom, that, some other airports are having some issues. Here's the deal. I don't think you're going to be able to predict this. I think because you don't know how many people are going to call in sick on a given day at a given airport. And by calling in sick, of course, that means that, you know, maybe they've gotten another side gig and they're doing something else so they can get some money coming in so they can, like, you know, pay the rent and buy groceries and stuff like that. Of course, we talked with Sid Hanna and Dale Keller, who are the TSA folks here in Sacramento, and kind of checking in with them. Right now, their bosses don't want them going on the air and talking about this kind of stuff, which is kind of understandable. You want the same message coming from people. But we talked about it. And locally here, we haven't had any issues yet. Apparently, some folk, of course, we've just missed the first big full paycheck. They are getting some help from food banks and food pantries. And some passengers have been kind enough to leave gift cards, and they're just redistributing them to the officers. So that's one way that you can help if you want. These are just regular folks. So in some cases, you can get gift cards with your credit card points. Doesn't even cost you money. And you could drop a couple of those off out there. That would certainly help. Also, as we've said before, you can just say thank you. You can say, you know, I really needed to travel today, and thank you guys and gals so much for working. When you say that to them, you will be floored at the response that you get. TSA people who are curmudgeonly and sometimes don't even look at you as you're passing through and, you know, kind of grunt or something like that, they will look you right in the eye and smile and say thank you. And so you know that at least for a small moment in time, you've had a little bit of an impact. So these folks are working without pay. I know we've talked about this a lot the last couple of weeks on this program, but I just, it seems, Tom, so screwy to me. There are not, There are not lines when you go out to the airport that say Democrats go through security here and Republicans go through security here and independents go through. It's all everybody's all together. You either have pre-check or you don't. And so it's not done by gender or age or or political party. It's done by people trying to get through security and get on an airplane. So why in the world are we penalizing? You could make an argument that these people are as important to the travel system as any single entity.
Agreed.
If a hotel chain shuts down or, you know, an airline goes on strike or something, the whole system doesn't shut down. But someday we're going to wake up and a whole bunch of these people will have called in sick all over the country and the system is going to shut down or be so seriously encumbered that it just can't go. Here's a USA Today article that appeared last week. No funds for food. TSA agents sleeping in cars as shutdown continues. Just weird. Here's another story. Missed your flight after abnormally lined TSA line. Don't expect a refund. So the airlines are saying if you get stuck in a long TSA line that and you miss your plane, that's not our fault. So make sure that you're allowing enough time to get through security at the airport. There is one other thing you can do. We have a link at travelguysradio.com, and you can send a note to our representatives and in Congress, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate. I did it last week. You'll get a confirmation back saying, hey, we got your note, and we'll pass it on. Obviously, what you're just doing is adding your name to a list of political people look at these things. And the more responses that they get to something like this, the more important it is. I can tell you that our state senators, both of them, and our local representatives, whether you're endorsed Matsui district or Ami Bera's district, they are all trying to get TSA paid. But there are political issues now. Each side is trying to add things to legislation to get it through. And you know what I say? Just stop this. Just stop this. Monday morning, just go to work. Congressmen and congresspeople and representatives and senators, and just take care of these people. I don't care how you do it. Just get them a paycheck because they're really important to the system. And a lot of us depend on travel, the whole travel and tourism economy, to make a living. So, you know, I mean, if you screw this up and this system breaks down, trust me, the people will hold you accountable. So I just want to say, just you heard it here first. When it goes to hell in a handbasket, people are going to be so angry. Oh, you have no idea.
Well, you know, tens of thousands of people who travel, one of the things that they dread, one of the things that sticks in their brain when they get ready to travel is getting through TSA and making their flight. I mean, there's a lot of other things they think about. Did I pack all my good stuff and so forth? But none of it is as important as that moment where you finally approach the TSA and you look to see how long the line is and you're looking at your watch trying to figure out whether you're going to make it through.
Yep.
You know, so this is incredibly important. And may I say, if you don't have pre-check, there is still a much, much shorter line in pre-check than there is in the masses. So you can either pre-check or you can clear. You know, I traveled over the last 3 days and, you know, those were by far the shortest lines. So anyway, get it done, people.
Yeah, we had a group come home from New Orleans last night, which was one of the cities mentioned as having sporadic issues. Tour director reported that there were no issues getting through New Orleans security yesterday afternoon, which of course was a Friday, tends to be a little bit busier sometimes. You said same thing in Las Vegas. You didn't have any issues getting back. So it doesn't make any sense to me at all. There are a lot of things you can point at and say, well, you know, it's to the advantage of this political party or that political party or this group of people or that group of people. But there aren't any winners here. There aren't any winners. Average people have to wait longer. And like you said, have to stress about getting on their flight. These people who have this job for the third time in 5 months, for God's sake, have to be concerned about how to pay their rent. Would you stay in a job that where that happened? I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, I'd be looking for a way out. So maybe some of those people already are. And, oh, well, anyways, let's go on with the travel news here. I've ranted and raved enough for one day, I guess.
All right. More on the travel news. Once again, here's Mark.
Road trips from Canadians has fallen to the slowest level in years and years and years. Over 1 million Canadians returned from the U.S. by car in February, the lowest level in nearly a decade. It's running still about 15-20% below. So the Canadians are still pissed off at us, and I don't really actually blame them. Will your flights get more expensive? Yeah, we haven't seen any. I've been scouring the news feeds, and I haven't seen any airline coming out and saying, well, okay, fuel has gone up. It looks like it's going to stay here for a while, and here's what we're going to do. But that was going to happen any minute. I mean, it could be on the wire right now. So if fuel prices stay elevated, you're going to start seeing all kinds of fuel surcharges. And remember, fuel goes into a lot of products. So things like fertilizer and different things, different aspects of the whole oil refining process end up in other products, plastics and things like that. So those things are going to start to cost more because the ingredients that make them are going to cost more. And so you're going to start to see this, I think, very soon. I'm holding my breath. I'm sure I'm going to see fuel surcharges from the bus companies that we use to transport our groups around. And so warning to sports leisure travelers, small fuel surcharges are probably in your future because it's hard for your travel company to eat those surcharges. And with the airlines, it says this is so far, if this lasts a month and we're halfway there already, it'll cost the airlines $11 billion. So that'd be $11 billion. That's $11 billion a year. So that's almost $1 billion a month. So that money has to come from somewhere. The airlines, it's not going to come out of their profits because their margins are pretty thin. So guess what, folks? It's going to come from you. So you can expect that to happen soon. And a slightly more upbeat story. For the first time in 6 years, fireworks are returning to Mount Rushmore ahead of 4th of July. On July the 3rd, they are going to be set off to celebrate America's 250th anniversary. You can go if you like. There's going to be a ticket lottery. There is a link. Not only is there a link to let your congressperson know how you feel about this TSA situation at travelguysradio.com, but there's also a link if you'd like to get into the lottery to get tickets to see the fireworks up at Mount Rushmore celebrating America's 250th anniversary. It's all a lottery system. Go to travelguysradio.com and you will find a link there so that you can enter the lottery if you want to. The other thing is you will have to get yourself to Rapid City and the Black Hills for that event. So anyways, good luck to you. And that's your travel news for today.
Man, we are the travel and entertainment guys, Mark and Tom. And we were just talking about national parks, and I'm surprised to hear this, but apparently there's going to be no more reservations for national parks. We'll talk about that and give you some tips on how you can get into your favorite park, perhaps the one closest to us, Yosemite. It's next here on The Travel Guys. Hey there, check us out at travelguysradio.com. You'll find links to a lot of the stories that we talk about on a regular basis here on The Travel Guys, as well as podcasts of previous shows. Mark, I have to start off with on this segment, we're going to talk about and the fact that you no longer have reservations for national parks. First of all, why did this happen?
Well, a lot of changes. There have been a lot of changes in the way government does things over the last year and a half, particularly the federal government. So without passing judgment on good, bad, or otherwise, this is one of the changes that has been made. The reservation system sometimes got overwhelmed, which is exactly what happens at the entry to the national park. So instead of the reservation system telling you, I'm sorry, but there is no more entry allowed on this day, you can drive up to the park and wait in a line for 3 hours if you want to and piss and moan and complain about it. So, here's the deal. Most people try to enter the national parks during daylight hours and not necessarily early in the day. So the biggest crowds at Yosemite are going to be, you know, the people are going to start to arrive. Day trippers are going to arrive 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30. People who are closer than we are here in Sacramento, you know, Yosemite's about 3.5 hours from here. So you can't really do Yosemite in a day. You could, and I'm sure many people do, but that's a lot of driving for a day. So people people tend to arrive 10-ish.
No, I mean you and I. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I do.
We drove there and cut a radio commercial at the base of the falls.
Yes, but that was
a thousand
years ago. That was in a different lifetime.
Yes.
People tend to day trippers, of course, who don't have reservations in the park or who are staying outside the park will leave, you know, at day's end. Perhaps they'll stay for a sunset or something like that, but still they'll be gone. So most of the people arrive into a park in a 4, 5, 6 hour period. So here's the deal. With no reservation system now, particularly at Yosemite, particularly between now and the end of October, you're going to find a lot of people trying to get in there in the middle of the day. So my tip to you is get your butt out of bed and go early. Either go down and stay in a adjacent to the park accommodation the night before. That's going to cost you a little bit more money, but then you could get up and go into the park, or just get up in Sacramento and leave here at 6 o'clock in the morning and drive up to Yosemite and be in the park by 9:30 or 10. Now, here's a couple things to think about. If you have reservations for accommodations in the park or anywhere else, those rooms won't be ready until mid-afternoon at the earliest. So if you go to the park early, you're going to have to find something to occupy your time until your accommodations are ready and you can put your stuff away and you can, you know, go have dinner or whatever it is you're going to do. So this isn't a perfect world or a perfect system, but I'm just going to tell you that you need to go to avoid the crowds, either go early in the day or late in the day. And if you go late in the day, of course, you won't have as much time to enjoy the park if you're not staying overnight.
With that being said, Mark, are there any days of the week that are better time to, let's say, visit Yosemite than another?
Worst times to visit Yosemite would be on the weekends. But during the summertime, the flow into the parks isn't as defined by days of the week. So time of the day is perhaps more important than days of the week. I would suggest you probably Monday, because people who come up for the weekend tend to take off. Accommodations used to be cheaper, like on Sunday nights. There's no such thing as that now. There are very limited accommodations in Yosemite Park, so you must make a reservation. Don't go up there and think you're just going to happen into a hotel room. Even outside the park in the summertime, I would tell you that you need to have a reservation. Sequoia Park is a little different. There aren't as many accommodations in the park. There aren't as many accommodations outside the park. Sequoia and Kings Canyon are two separate national park units, although they are together. And you can find big sequoia trees on the way into Kings Canyon. So there are the giant trees are in both parks. Obviously, Kings Canyon is just in Kings Canyon, and it's a really beautiful place to see. And a lot of people go to Yosemite and they bypass the other two parks. So that's a thought. Sequoia and Kings Canyon aren't as crowded, but there aren't as many visitor services there. So there aren't as many things to do. Another thought is to go into Yosemite in the summertime. There's a snowed off entrance into east entrance into the park that you can get to. You have to drive around and go in the east entrance, but you will find many, like 15% as many people there. So there won't be lines. There also won't be as many park concessions and services and stuff like that for visitors. But if you're trying to avoid the people, taking the east entrance into Yosemite is one thing to do. Also, Lassen National Park to the north is not quite as spectacular of scenery. It doesn't have the big trees that Sequoia has or the carved granite that Yosemite has. But Lassen is a volcanic park, and it's interesting in its own right, and not as many people go there. And Chico is close by, so they're at Paradise. So there are places that you can stay up there outside of the park if you wish. So that would be another option. Redwoods National Park up on the coast is kind of an area where, you've got Eureka and some of the other towns around. There's a state park up there, California State Park, and also the national park up towards Crescent City. So again, though, those parks are going to be the most crowded in the middle part of the day. So if you're willing to get up and put on a jacket and go and visit the park when a lot of other people aren't there, you're going to have a much higher quality experience than you had otherwise. And the other thing I would tell you is avoid the summertime. You know, go now, go in October, when the leaves are turning color. Yosemite can be a really beautiful place. Sequoia trees don't turn color, so don't go up there for the fall color. But anyways, there are a few ideas.
Quick question here. You talk about getting there early. Mm-hmm. What time do they open up? I mean, can you go at 6 a.m. or do you got to wait till 9? I suppose it varies by park, but
generally in the summertime, entry into the park is 24 hours a day. So that's an excellent question, Tom. And during
you can enter the park at 10 o'clock at night?
Well, you've got a park entry gate. And there's an attendant there. You have to pay generally a fee to get into the park. So, they need to get the money to support the park. So, But when we next time we break, I'll go and look it up and let you know if the that's an excellent question. If you can enter Yosemite through the gated system 24 hours a day, or is it, does it shut down like at midnight? Great question.
All right. We are Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys. Talk about the next break. Well, this is it, my friends. We'll be back with more stuff to make you a smarter traveler. Keep it right here. Sports Talk 1140.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sports Leisure Vacations is a local tour company frequented mostly by mature travelers. It can take you all over the planet. April and May brings Route 66 to our schedule. In June, you can take a trip for us with us to fly to Portland and spend 6 days making your way home via the Oregon and California coast. We were just talking about the Redwoods in Redwood National Park and State Park. That's part of that itinerary. On Saturday, April the 4th, the day before Easter, Sports Leisure Vacations will unveil its tour schedule for the second half of this year and the first part of 2027 at our spring preview day at the KVIE Studios. There are two sessions that day. Admission is free. All you have to do to make a reservation is give us a call at 916-361-2051 or go to sportsleisure.com. Tour preview day is on Saturday, April the 4th. Come on out and find out what your favorite local tour company has to offer in the months to come.
All right, let's double back just a little bit here. Right before the break, I was grilling Mark if he could tell us when the national parks in this area or wherever open their gates.
You're supposed to, as the co-host, you're supposed to ask me questions I can answer. But that was such a good question. But your travel guy buddy here didn't have the answer. But of course, you can Google just about anything. So I asked Mr. Google, Mrs. Google, actually it is. Yosemite National Park is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with entrance gates remaining accessible even when stations are unstaffed. That was kind of my question. I knew there wasn't somebody there 24 hours a day to take your money and answer your questions, but the gates are open even when they're not staffed. The exception is the Hetch Hetchy entrance, which is open only from sunrise to sunset. And of course, as we mentioned, there's one entrance to the park, the east entrance, that's closed and won't open until probably late May, early June, until the snow melts. So that's the Yosemite rules. But generally, park entry stations are open. National park entry stations are open 24 hours a day. There is an entry fee to get into most parks, and like we said, you can't make a reservation anymore. And even here on the Google, it says, peak traffic. To avoid long delays during the spring through fall season, it is recommended to enter the park before 7 a.m. or after 4 p.m. So we said before 10. The Google says before 7.
Right.
So somewhere in there is the sweet spot, folks, where the line starts to back up and you're spending way more time in your car polluting the atmosphere than you are enjoying Yosemite National Park. And the other thing is, Tom, there are so many people who live here in the Sacramento Valley who have never been to Yosemite. It is one of the world's most remarkable places. It doesn't cost, I know gas is more expensive now, but you can go to one of the world's most remarkable places is here in your backyard. So if you haven't gone, you should put it on your list.
All righty. We are the Travel Guys. Mark, I've been noticing it seems that more and more reviews of like hotels and restaurants and have stories, horror stories on airplanes. Why is that? Are travel influencers trying to scare us into traveling? I mean, what is the point?
Well, the point is that there are an awful lot of people who have decided that this is a way to make a living, or at least as a side hustle. And the number of, quote, influencers is growing dramatically. I see these people. Some of the stuff that I see in the travel world that comes, that passes through my way, it really looks to me like these people are setting up, many of them, of the influencers are setting up their own situations. They're setting up a situation that will allow them to create content. They don't exactly know what type of content it's going to create, but they create a situation where there's a confrontation or an encounter with someone that may go well or may not. And so they're offering... And then they're offering you their opinion, or they're showing you, and that's getting them clicks or whatever it is. It's kind of sort of getting out of hand. I watched one happen on an airplane the other day that I really thought was somewhat contrived. It was involving seating and stuff like that. I really believe that the influencer intentionally sat in the wrong seat. Mm-hmm. And then when the person arrived who had the seat, tried to get the person to switch and created a little bit of a situation. Fortunately, the customer that was in the other flyer who was involved was fairly amenable and didn't, no situation really, but the lady had her phone out and she was, phone recording. And the other customer said, "Why do you have your phone out? Why are you recording this? Why would you be? You just asked me if I would change my seat." And I said, "I would be happy to change with you. And why are you recording this?" So I kind of suspected that something. Here's the deal, though. The deal with the influencers, Tom, is that a lot of these folks got the hotel room for free, or they got the meal for them and a guest for free. Or with the airline, they didn't fly for free. But especially with hotels, restaurants, things like this, services in airports, in many cases, these people are not paying retail price. Or they're getting it for free because, hey, if you give me this, I'll write about it and it'll bring a bunch of attention to it. It's like advertising. So that, to be an endorsement. So that's what we used to call them. So that's fine. That's all wonderful. But the person who is doing the endorsing, the influencer, the influencing should be telling you up front in that reel or whatever is on social media, however they're communicating with you, usually it's by picture, it's some type of video. It should clearly state in the beginning that, or they should be stating that, hey, this was compliments of, I went to this place and they were kind enough to give me the accommodations for the night, and here's my evaluation. So it doesn't necessarily mean that everything has to be wonderful, but I think you should be telling people, which is sort of the law, that, hey, I didn't pay for this, or I didn't pay full price for it. And so, that could be something that I might want to consider when I'm looking at what it is that you said or you wrote or whatever about a place, because let's face it, Tom, Rudy's Hideaway is a terrific restaurant. They're wonderful people. They are standing on their own. They don't need us to tell people that, but they advertise on our program. So we're probably not going to come on here and say, Rudy sucks, don't go there. I mean, we're going to tell people that it's because they're on our program and they're advertising, they're compensating us for advertising on the program. So full disclosure, you can tell that when you're listening to a radio program because you can tell where the ads are. Whereas in some cases online, you don't necessarily see that. And that's not to say that every influencer is a bad person or is inaccurate or what they say has no meaning, because that's not the case at all. Many of these people have done this for a while, and they're willing. Chris Elliott is a consumer advocate. He will tell you if he goes someplace and it's no good, he'll tell you. He'll write about it and tell you that it was no good. He also tends to pay his way when he goes, but if it is good, then he'll tell you. So I don't know. I see these people getting people to follow them and to buy things based on their input and only to be disappointed. So just be careful about accepting the opinion of one influencer, because it might not be the God's truth.
Yeah, the Federal Trade Commission has specific guidelines that in regards to radio influences or endorsements, as well as television. Television, they have all the little tiny print on the bottom that says that these are actors and or they're paid for it or whatever. And radio is supposed to be kind of the same thing. It's supposed to be some sort of indication that whoever is endorsing was compensated for their words. Doesn't mean that they because they're being paid that they would necessarily endorse anything, okay, or they don't like the product. One of the other rules is that you're supposed to use the product. You're supposed to either you bought it and you use it and not it's no people told me it's really good, so you can pay me to tell people on the radio that others say it's great. That's not really how it's supposed to go. So, you know, but with social media influencers and so forth, I don't know. The guidelines are really, really gray.
Well, those FTC guidelines that you speak of that apply to radio also apply to these people in social media. One of the reasons that they're not following the rules, Harvard Business Review wrote about this recently, says researchers found that the influencers lost some of their followers if they revealed that, if they disclosed sponsorships. So Ben Schlopik at One Mile at a Time, one of the blogs that I read, travel blogs that I read, has a anytime he has an article that has a review in it, there's a disclosure at the top that says, you know, hey, we may or may not have been compensated for this review or for eating in this restaurant or staying at this hotel. And that may, you know, so please know this ahead of time that, you know, we may have been bribed to go there. It doesn't influence how we reported on it in there. You know, in some cases it might. Anyway, it just is. Just be careful. If you see something online, doesn't make it true.
There you go. All right. Okay, let's see here. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Do we have anything else we want to cover before we take a short break and head off to spring training?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about spring training here before the break, Tom. A lot of folks from the Valley go down there. We saw all kinds of people, obviously Giants and A's fans. There were some people walking around in a bright blue color. I don't know what team that they were rooting for.
I would have no idea.
Some California team from another part of the state. And of course there are Angels there because there are Angel fans and Padre fans and the like. So
how are those A's doing?
A's are doing pretty good. Giants are playing like the Giants played last year in the spring. You know, they're playing like it counts. And, that worked last year for about 3 months into the regular season. And then we got this stud from Boston and, everything went to hell in a handbasket. Anyway, this is a travel program, not a baseball program. You'd probably like to know a little bit about what we did down there. There is a new baseball museum. For years in Mesa, in their historical museum, they had a room that was dedicated to spring training. Now they have an entire building at the Mesa Historical Museum. It's a work in progress, but if you're a baseball fan and you've been to spring training a few times, I really recommend going to see it. It's not crowded. It's Mesa's in the southeast corner of the Valley. So make time for the baseball museum, the spring training museum in Mesa. There is an entry charge. I don't remember what it was, but if you're a baseball fan, it's worth going. We toured the Capitol this year. Folks from capital cities I have found in my travels tend to be disproportionately interested in other capital cities, particularly the buildings. Mm-hmm. So Phoenix is capital. It's an old and a modern building together, and it was really entertaining to see. They have a lovely outdoor sculpture garden and stuff. That's well worth a stay, a visit. We went to the Japanese Botanical Garden, which is a really beautiful spot in downtown Phoenix that I would recommend. There are some other things there that we didn't do this year. There's a Museum of Musical Instruments, which is pretty interesting. There's a Fireman's Museum, which with all kinds of things related to that particular occupation. If you're going to eat in the Valley, there's one spot that is really, really well known among spring training visitors called Rustler's Roost. It's got beautiful views of the Valley. It fills up early, and they don't take reservations. So right after the ball game is over, no matter what ballpark you are at, you'll be between 15 minutes and an hour from Rustler's Roost when the ball game ends at 3:30. They open at 4. Go now. So Rustler's Roost is like the national parks. The line tends to back up. So go to the Roost between 4 and 5 o'clock. We went on a weeknight and got there about, our reservation was 5:15. We got there about 4:45 and the parking lot was pretty full. So
what did you say? You said your reservation.
Oh, I'm sorry. We take groups of people.
Oh, so if you have a group of like 25, you
exactly.
Can
then the restaurant wants to know that you're coming. But for the Great Unwashed, yeah, you just have to go and fight the crowds. The steaks there are really good. They have a chicken fried steak there. It's one of the cheapest things on the menu, but it's also one of the best things on the menu. Awesome. It's a really good cut of meat. It's not a round steak like it is most places. And
did
the
you
gravy's
have to run over with a road thing?
The gravy's really good. The mashed potatoes have the skin on. It's Rustler's Roost is the place. If you've never tried rattlesnake, they will fry you up some rattlesnake, and as they say, tastes just like chicken.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
Did you have some?
I did not on this time around, but I've had it in the past.
Okay.
Yes. Places to stay. There's a zillion places all around the Valley. You can stay in places where you can walk to your favorite ballpark. Remember, many of the parks that are occupied by one team, there's only a game when the team's at home, so half the time. Some of the ballparks, Surprise, Peoria, there's one other one that's Talking Stick, are occupied by two teams. So there's a game every day. So staying in a hotel where you could walk to the ballpark if you didn't care which team was playing would be a good thing. You will pay a premium for those locations. Or you can be like us. We're nomads. We follow the Giants. So we go to wherever the Giants are playing around the Valley, and the stadiums are all over. So we kind of stay in the middle at a really nice Marriott that's just north of the airport that we've been staying at forever, where the service is really good and the people are nice.
Do you usually go to, and I was listening on the radio, following the Giants, and you have Team A playing in whatever, and then up at the Talking Stick is Team B. Do you guys go to the A team or the B team or a little blend of both?
Tends to be, you're talking about split squad games.
Yes.
And those happen. Sometimes they happen after the original schedule comes out. So when you buy the ticket, you don't know what's going to happen. If you're a visiting team on a split squad game, you tend to have mostly minor leaguers. There's some of that sort of stuff going on. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you're going to spring training just to see the stars, you're going to see the future stars.
Right.
And you're a baseball fan and you haven't had any baseball fix for 4 or 5 months. So you're happy about that. And you're generally coming from, if you're coming from Sacramento, the weather here is kind of nice at this time of the year. But if you're coming from Chicago or Poughkeepsie or something like that, it's been, you know, five months of winter and you're just happy to be someplace where you can see the sunshine. Mm-hmm. So those people have a little different incentive for coming to spring training than we do. But anyways, if you go, it's not inexpensive. The tickets have, we paid $70 to see the Giants and the Cubs play. Hey, $70 a ticket to see the Giants and the Cubs play in a game that doesn't count with mostly minor leaguers. The concession prices at the ballparks are over the top ridiculous, beyond ridiculous. The food is not that good. I can't think of a single thing that I had at a ballpark in 5 days that I would recommend that you buy. I'm guessing the beer is cold. I'm not a beer drinker. They will let you take sealed bottled water in, which will save you $6.50.
So, can you bring your own box lunch?
No. Most of the stadiums will not let you bring food in. Also, a lot of restrictions on the carry-ons that you bring in have to be very small or be in clear bags so they can see them, or they will not let you in. It's not where you can say, oh, you know, I mean, this is the diaper bag. And it's like, I'm sorry, it's not clear. It's not this size. You have to go back and put it in your car. So just know it would be good if you're going down there, check on the carry-on restrictions, especially if you've got kids in tow and, you know, various paraphernalia associated with that. There's only a certain amount of stuff that will let you bring in, and they won't let you bring in food. You know, you could bring in a candy bar, but they're not going to let you bring in a bag of chips and a sandwich. So they would rather sell you a bag of chips and a sandwich, which will set you back about, $3,500.
Is parking an issue?
Parking is no. Parking is available. It's charged at almost every ballpark. So again, it's spring training. I remember I paid $350 for my first seat in Scottsdale years ago. We got to take a break.
$350. It's
no, $3.50. We sat in folding chairs down behind home plate. I think the cheapest ticket this time around was $26.
Yeah.
And like I said, we paid $70, and we heard fans talking about who had gone to Dodger games, about how ridiculous the Dodger game prices were, where one guy said he paid $102 and he wasn't behind home plate to watch the Dodgers and the Padres. So bring your wallet, but spring training is a fun time. It's a laid back time, and it's a great time for baseball fans.
All right. That's I've listened to you for years here talk about spring training, and I have to say that it appears it never gets dull for you and the Sports Leisure Travelers, and I can guess why. All right, my friends, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, upgrades on planes. How do you do it? What's the skill set required to be able to take that crappy seat in the back and maybe turn it into something decent in legroom? And we'll talk about that when we return right here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys with you. We're here every Saturday, 11 a.m., and at TravelGuysRadio.com to make you a smarter traveler. Mark, you know, I was wondering if there was a way that I could, now that we're doing the seat selection with Southwest, I could find a way to move into a better seat or whatever by buying a generic ticket, and then maybe they were oversold and they couldn't find a place for me and move me up, or go to the counter and, you know, complain about something or try to schmooze somebody.
Almost every day, Tom, having
to pay a lot of money.
Yeah, almost every day I log onto the internet. I'm sure you see these too. Our listeners do. You know, seven tips on how a flight attendant tells you how to get upgraded to first class. You know, there's all these things. They're all clickbait. And the most recent one I found here was a gate agent reveals seven passenger behaviors that quietly get you upgraded.
Okay.
So let me explain to you something about first class upgrades. Every airline has a frequent traveler program. I'm very high on the list at United. Southwest doesn't have first class, but I'm very high on the list at United. When I go to the airport and I didn't buy a first class ticket, I'm looking at that list and seeing where I am and how many empty seats there are. And is there any possibility that I could get upgraded to first class? If I'm number one or two on the list, and there's two seats available and they disappear and I don't get upgraded, I want to know what the hell happened. So if the gate agent is, you know, dishing out upgrades to people who say, wow, you have a lovely outfit on, or I really like your hair, or whatever, you know, you have the greatest airline in the world, then they're going to piss off a lot of really good customers. So that's not happening. I assure you that is not happening. However, there is a way here to maybe get a little bit of an upgrade by following some of the ideas they suggest. You know, be nice, pick your spot. You get to your gate, the gate agent shows up to work the flight 45 minutes to an hour before departure. Once they get settled in, now you're on the plane and you're in the very back of the plane, or you're in some preferred seats or something. And because of what was going on, you weren't able to get seats together. Or maybe you're in the cattle car seats and in the seats just in front of you, there are a couple seats together and you and your wife are separated in the back. So, you know, you go and you say, gee, you know, is there a way for this to happen? I'm a, and the other thing is, if you're a frequent traveler of that airline, then the she'll be able to see that, she or he, when she pulls up the record. She'll see what your status is, but it doesn't hurt with a lead with that. You know, I'm a platinum or I'm a silver or whatever traveler, and because of this circumstance, we weren't able to get seated together, or my wife has a bad leg, and it really helps her if she can put it on the aisle. You know, so she needs a D seat, and there weren't any available, but I see that there's one now, or if one becomes available because of a cancellation or you upgrade somebody or something, could you maybe keep us in mind? And I'd really appreciate it if you could make that happen. You may get met with somebody who goes and bite your head off. That's a real possibility. But if you approach it right, you might also might get somebody who just says, hey, you know, I'd be happy to, yes, I'll consider that, and maybe they can make it happen for you. So in some situations where you really need an upgraded seat because of a special situation, not the first class, but just another spot on the plane, it's worth a try.